for whatever it is in our life we're waiting for, whether it's a healing in our body, whether it's a child to be saved, whether it's a relationship, maybe looking for the right husband, the right wife, the right job, whatever it is you're waiting on, trust God. Because God's plan for you is much greater than any plan we could ever create for ourselves. Because our plans are marred by our own will and not necessarily God's will a lot of times. And our plan is marred with, you know, sometimes our human desire versus what God's desire in us is. Now, I do believe God gives us desires, absolutely, gives us passions, gives us visions, gives us dreams. But at the same time, we also have a lot of thoughts that aren't from God. And the enemy can come to bring confusion and disruption in our lives as well. And so we've got to weigh that out. God, is this your will for my life? Is this the direction you want me to go? I want to wait on you. You know, we see a lot of relationship problems in our country, like never before. A lot of issues with marriages or lack of marriages. A lot of issues with, you know, in the family unit because a person maybe didn't wait on God for the right one in their life. You know, they pushed that door open themselves, and they didn't wait on God to send them the right person. I remember praying, I've shared this before, but I remember praying for my wife before I met Mel. I began to pray for a wife. And it sounds maybe corny in this generation because, I mean, who wants a wife, right? But in this generation, marriage is still very sacred in God's eyes. And I think marriage is still very honorable. And marriage is a good thing. The Bible says that, you know, it's a good thing. A man's found a good thing in a wife, you know. If you got the right one, it's a good thing. You got the wrong one, look out, right? Flames and fire. But I do have the right one. And she's definitely got the right one. She couldn't have any better. And just a laugh there. So I began to pray for a wife back when I was a young man. God sent me a wife. I didn't want to run around. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't like that scene. I wanted a relationship, a real one. And I began to pray for a wife, and God sent her to me. And if we will wait on things, God will bring us the right things into our lives. But we got to wait on Him, and we got to be patient, and we got to wait on the timing of God, not the timing of us. There are so many. I read a little thing on Facebook, and I started to read this morning, but I didn't print it off. But you know, it's talking about it was a video actually. It was talking about this guy saying, "God, why did I have such a bad day today? Why did you let me have such a bad day? You know, I woke up late, my car wouldn't start, and went on the list of just." Really silly things that we sometimes get extreme about. And God was telling this guy, look, I was watching over you. The reason your car didn't start, there was a drunk driver on the road that I was trying to keep you to avoid. The reason you were late for work was, and gave another example. And the reason this happened, and God kept giving this man reasons of why that happened. And then all of a sudden he's like, okay, God, I got it. I hear you. I see it. We question God a lot why things happen whenever God is protecting us and God is loving us and God is going before us, I think, carving out a path that he wants us to walk on. And sometimes things just aren't in the right timing right now. And if we could learn to trust God and wait on God. And you know, the word wait means more than just a hopeless expectation. Waiting's a hopeful expectation. Waiting means I don't believe God's going to do it. In your time, God, you're going to do this. And I'm going to trust you. I may not see it, but God, you are going to do it. We see many examples throughout the Word of God of men and women that had to wait for a long time for stuff. Wednesday night I said this, and I want to correct myself because I gave you the wrong, I didn't think it was right. I gave you the wrong number. If you were here Wednesday, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you weren't, it don't matter. But Wednesday night I shared that Abraham got a promise from God that he would have a seed. He would have a child. And at this point, Abraham was 75 years old. And he had physically passed the time of life, and so is Sarah already at that point. And God said, I'm going to give you a seed of your own because him and his wife had never had a seed together. He said, I'm going to give you a seed where all nations will come out of. He said, okay, God. You know how long he had to wait for that promise? I said Wednesday it was 12 years. It was 25 years. So 25 years after the angel appeared to Abraham and Sarah and said, you'll have a child, they had to wait 25 more years for it to happen. Now think about that. Wouldn't you get pretty discouraged, you know? Carrie, say 30 years old, angel appeared, you will have a child. Da-da-da. You want to bear a child. Great. 31 comes by, 32, 33, 40, 42, 45, 50, 51, 52. Okay, God, did I have a little too much wine that night, or did I hear that right? Did you really say I was going to have a child? Because, Lord, that was in 1995, and now it's 2000-whatever. 25 years they had to wait, but God's promise showed up. God did what he said. We the ones that put things on timetables, because, man, we are instant, right? We are so instant. Instant grits, instant oatmeal, instant coffee. Everything's instant. You know, Taco Bell used to have their drive-through timer here in Statesville, if you remember that, with a timer. If you didn't get your food within 2 minutes, it was free. And they had a clock that counted down. I mean, I'd rather have my stuff right and together. Nothing more frustrating, right, than getting home and they left out the fries or left out the cheeseburger or left out your drink. Because most of us don't go back. We're too mad. We just don't go back. So they know that. Everything is hurry, hurry, hurry. We want it now. It's kind of like the little woman I saw in an interview. She said, Lord, I need patience. God, I need, that's something I'm weak in. I need patience. And I need it now. That's what she said. That's kind of where we're at, ain't it? I mean, you know, we pray for it, but we don't. We got to wait on God to give it to us. I mean, really? Wait. Waiting is, I read this, that the average person gets frustrated after 15 minutes of waiting in line. That's kind of the cutoff time. 15 minutes or more is when they lose it. I mean, really? 15 minutes. That is no time, is it? No time. I mean, we're such a fast-paced world that we have to have things now. And that's why car dealers, hope there's none in here this morning. Any car dealers in here this morning? That's why they hit you so hard when you walk on the lot. And they don't want you to go. Because they know if they lose you off the lot, they probably lost the sale. Because they want you to make an emotional, instant decision. Get in this car. Don't it look good? You're sitting back in the seat. Recline a little bit. Take him T-tops. Slide that T-tops open. Can't you see your hair blowing in the wind? No, I can't, sir. Not really. My wife, yeah, not me. Just feel that leather. Man, feel that power. Man, when you mat, you're going to feel like you're 25 again. Ain't this your car? And this is a deal. It's only $150 a month, man. Only. How long? Just $150 a month. Well, how many months? Just $150 a month. You can do that, can't you? And no money down. This is you, boss. This is you. Drive it off today, and I'll throw in a free cup of tea. It's yours. And a pair of shades. I mean, I got to think about it. Oh, well, now look, it may be gone when you come back tomorrow. It may not be here. This is your car. I see. And they push and they push because they realized people make decisions in an instant. And if we'll take time to breathe and step back and say, God, I'm going to wait on you. No instant decisions, no major instant decisions. Wait. Wait on the Lord because I promise you, you will feel different in the morning. Have you seen that Jack in the Box commercial? The dolphin tattoo. Woman and man's on the couch. The woman's crying. She's looking at him. The guy turns around. He's got a dolphin and what's that other part? A rainbow. A dolphin and a rainbow tattoo that goes from here all the way down to here. And the commercial is, so you made a bad decision last night. And Jack in the Box saying, but I got a special, 2 for $3 on biscuits. Go get some breakfast. And the wife says, honey, let's go get some breakfast. And he looked at her and says, I trade the car for the tattoo. You can make some really bad decisions in an instant that you will regret if you don't wait on God. And so we need to learn just to wait. It don't have to happen now. Nothing has to happen now. Let's let God do it in his time. Let's read some scripture. We've got Psalms 20. I only got two scriptures. Psalms 27:14. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Man, the Lord wants us to wait on his direction. He's the captain of our host. He's the leader of our life. If we'll wait on him, he will go before us and make sure everything in our life goes the way he plans for us. But we make our own plans, and sometimes they don't line up with God's plan. But if we'll wait on God, it's never wrong, ever wrong. We read different people. We talked about Abraham having to wait 25 years. Remember the story of Jacob? He wanted to marry Rachel. He loved Rachel, wanted to marry her. So he worked. His father said, okay, you got to work 7 years to get her. Now, dads, men, boy, if we did that again, right? How many will work 7 years to marry a Christian? Okay, you want Christian? You got to work for me for 7 years and do what I say. Then you can have her. Forget that, man. I'll go over here. It's a lot easier. All right, then. She ain't for you. So there was honor back then. There was honor in marriage and honor in relationships. It's just different. So Jacob said, okay, I want your daughter. So I worked 7 years for her. So he worked 7 years. And the man tricked Jacob and gave him Leah. He didn't want Leah. He wanted Rachel. He wanted Rachel. So he said, okay, you want Rachel? You got to work 7 more years. Okay. Jacob worked. Now, Don, you're married to Barbara, and you can answer this because she's not in here. Would you have worked 14 years to have Barbara? I mean, 14 years. I mean, think about that. You're talking about dedication and love? I mean, we can't get guys to get married no more, much less work to get married. 14 years Jacob worked to marry this one woman named Rachel. And he did, and he married her. He waited on God. I don't want this one. I want her. And she's worth waiting for. What's the old saying? Good things come to those who wait. Yes. Waiting is good. Now, I'm not a drinker, but they say the age the wine, the better, right? 1936, that's a vintage year, whatever that means. And so it's aged. Cheese. Aged cheese is higher quality and better. Now think about that. The moldier it gets, the better it is. That makes no sense, right? Aged. How many of us go by an old house, 100 years old? Oh, look at that house, 100. Man, it's got, what's the word we use? It has character. Character. 100 years old. All them, that way, it's got character because it's aged. Good things come to those who wait. Good things come to God's people that will wait on Him and not try to do it themselves. We get ourselves in trouble so much because we go ahead and try to fix our problems and do it our way and just wait. There's things we just can't control. There's things we can't change. Only God can change them. So we wait on Him to do it. God, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to trust you. You know what we need. You know the desires. You know the bills I have, the relationship that I need, the way my family structure is. Whatever it is you need, God has your answer. But we have to wait and trust and believe that He knows what He's doing. Because God's plan is better than our own. Children of Israel, bless their hearts. You know how long a journey it was from Egypt to the Promised Land? It's a 10-day journey. You know how long it took them? 40 years. Now picture this. It was only a 10-day journey to go from Egypt to where they were going to go. Now you're talking about going the long, hind-end way around. I mean, really? 10 days turned into 40 years. Why? Because God was wanting to teach them something. Dependence, trust, reliance. And they were disobedient. They were murmurers. They were complainers. They were grumblers. God said, okay. You want to do it your way? Let's see how long it takes. I mean, think about that. 40 years they spent wandering to a place that would have took them 10 days to get there. But God says, I've got a plan, and I got a purpose. And that first generation, if you remember, actually died. That whole first generation, 20 and under, or 20 and over, or 20 and under, whichever, died. And the second generation made it in. Waiting. Waiting seems unfair sometimes. I'm waiting. I've been praying. Nothing's changed. Nothing's happened. My storm's still there. My giant still stands. Nothing has happened, God. When's it going to change? We don't know the answer to that. But I do know if we'll wait on God, He will stand up for us and He will bring it to pass in His time that's best for us. See, God knew what I needed. Going back as a personal reference to Melanie, I was in a relationship with a young lady right before I met Melanie, and her name was Rachel. Actually, kind of funny. And I thought I loved her. And we were in a relationship, and I really thought I was going to marry her. And I was with her for several months, and things changed, and I ended up breaking up with her, and I just felt something here, and I broke up, and I was so distraught. Now, you're talking about a grown man, church. I'm 19 years old. I got to break up with you. Okay, why? I just have to. And I'm sitting there and I'm so tore up. I'm the one breaking up, but I'm crying. Because I didn't want to. But I knew inside I had to. And I remember coming home so distraught. And I'm like, that's the one I thought I was going to marry. Why, God? Why would this happen? Why would this be allowed to happen? And That was in October that I broke up with this girl. And I met Melanie in January. 3 months later, she walked in that food line store. And the first time I talked to her, I knew that was the one I was going to. I know what you're thinking. Sure, he thought Rachel was the one. I knew this was the one I was going to marry. It was a different feeling than with Rachel. Rachel was kind of just a, well, I'd probably marry her kind of deal. With Melanie, it was like, I knew that's the one. Now, see, I went through that heartache. I went through that relationship. What was the purpose of all that? God had a plan. She wasn't the one for me. Melanie was the one for me, and God knew that. And so God opened that door for me and took care of me in spite of my own sorrow and own grief and own tears. I mean, I thought I had the one. Why would I break up with the one? Because of what I felt inside. Something told me inside, that's not the one. God, no, it is. I argued, no, it's not. I even dated her after I knew she wasn't the one, trying to make it work, and it just didn't work. So I waited on God. All right, God. Broke up, nobody now. I'm back to being single, back to being alone. All right, where do I go from here? Here comes Melanie bebopping, her 105-pound body. The 17-year-old in the food line, her little ponytail and chomping her big red gum and her, you know, little sassy personality. She didn't think I was too much when she first saw me, by the way. This other girl built her up. Man, you got to meet James Lewis. You got to wait till you see James. So she saw me. Well, he's all right. Thanks. Anyway, it worked. 21 years later, we're still together, so it worked. I must have been more than all right. She just don't want to give that away. She probably thought, my Lord, I can never have anything like that. I can never have that. But she did. Wait on God. Wait on Him, church. We need to wait on the Lord and trust His timing because His timing is perfect. Let's see who else who had to wait. Let's see here. Remember Noah? Talked about Noah and the flood. God told Noah there's going to be a flood. Men have 120 years. Now, a lot of preachers have preached that that meant we live 120 years. That's not what we're talking about at all. God was giving his sentence. There's 120 years from now to when the flood's going to come. So there was 120 years after God spoke to Noah about the flood that it took for it to actually happen. He said, I'm going to destroy the earth, start building an ark. 120 years passed before it happened. It didn't happen the next day, church. He didn't say, I'm going to destroy the world, rain, and then next Wednesday at 3 o'clock, a weather pattern moved in and it rained. 120 years later, it took for that to happen. We see great times of waiting. Joseph, who was totally innocent of the charge against him by Potiphar's wife, was put in prison. And he spent over 2 years in prison waiting on his deliverance. He was innocent. Why was he in prison? He was totally innocent, but God was doing a work. And whenever the king had that dream that nobody could interpret, none of his witches or warlocks could interpret, this guy that was in prison with Joseph says, you know what? I remember a guy that interpreted our dreams that came to pass. Bring him up. Brings Joseph out of prison after 2 years of being a prisoner. Brings him up out of prison, and he interprets the dream, and then he's made prince over all of Egypt. He had to wait. Joseph had to wait in prison till his time of promotion came. There's times of waiting, and that waiting we don't like because in that waiting, we don't think God's doing anything. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, ain't that what we think? When we're in waiting, we think God's not doing anything because we don't see anything changing. We don't hear anything. We don't see nothing moving. We're like, God, I've been waiting, I've been praying, and I've been believing, but nothing has changed. But on the contrary, church, it has. Because God is active and moving and alive. And there's always change going on, even if we can't see it. There's always something happening behind the scenes that we don't know about. God's always doing a certain thing, either through them or through you or through both. But God's doing something. God's not laying dormant doing nothing. So trust Him and believe in Him and wait on Him and learn to have peace during your waiting. If we could have peace during our waiting, we could have joy back in our lives. But what robs of our joy is that lack of peace while we're waiting. Because we think, God, you've not fixed it. It's hopeless. Nothing's changed. Today's like tomorrow. Tomorrow's like yesterday. Nothing is any different. But it is being changed by God in His way, in His timing, through us. Maybe He's trying to prepare us for something ahead. Maybe He's trying to grow us spiritually. Maybe He's trying to draw us to a more deep relationship with Him. But something is changing. Something is happening while you're waiting. Let me give you an example. You've all been to hospitals, and you've been in the waiting room, right? When you're in the waiting room, is anything happening somewhere else? Yeah. Kevin had a brother had open heart surgery. Is he doing good, brother? Good. It was in Raleigh he had that, you said, right? Well, Kevin was down there with him. You down there with him during surgery. And was you in the surgery room with him during the operation? Was you standing beside him while they operated on him? Where was you at? Waiting room. And you knew that while you waited, you didn't see anything going on, couldn't hear anything going on, didn't know what was going on, but you knew something was going on. While Kevin was waiting in this waiting room, detached from what was happening, the surgeons were doing their magic and opening that chest up and doing their work and putting it back together and restoring this man's health with the hand of God, of course. So while Kevin is waiting, seeing nothing, knowing nothing, and hearing nothing, he has full confidence that something's happening. So while we're waiting, church, something is happening. We may not can see behind that door or behind that veil, but we got to trust that while we're waiting, God is busy on our behalf doing something in someone's life or our life, doing something to bring it together that we will see the end result God's way. Man, wait on them and trust them. When you go to a restaurant, you're waiting on your food. Sometimes you wait longer than others, depending on where you go. You order your food, you're sitting there, my Lord. But you know what? You know they're cooking it. You can't see it. You don't know it. But you're waiting on your food. You may be snappy and complaining and grumbling. Eat all the 5 baskets of rolls before by the time your meal gets there. But you're waiting. And finally they come, carrying out the platter, sizzling. Sit it down. You take to buy that juicy steak, it was worth the wait. Worth it. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. See what waiting does on God. It strengthens us. It encourages us. It gives us patience and trust in Him. That God, I know you're doing something on my behalf. Though I can't see it, I know it's happening. So I'm going to wait on you because you know what's best in every season of my life. Man, we go through so many seasons, don't we? We go through different stages throughout our course of our human existence. We go from the young teenager with the whole world ahead of them to the young married adult raising kids to the adults with empty nest to the older age of everybody's kind of gone and maybe your health is failing and, you know, I'm at the end of my life. We go through seasons, and God knows every season we go through, and no season catches God off guard, and nothing we do catches God off guard. And if we'll learn to wait on Him in every season and trust Him in every season, we will learn to live a life of peace and joy, knowing, God, you're working it out for me. Just like Romans says, all things work together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose. So I got to realize I'm God's child. Just like your natural children, everything you do, if you're a good parent, I know there's bad parents. I know there's really bad parents. It ain't like it used to be. I mean, there's a lot of bad mom and dads. I understand that. But if you're a good mom and dad or a normal good parent, everything you do for your kids is for their good, not for their harm. Everything you do for them, the way you protect them, the advice you give them, the things you say to them, everything is for their good. I mean, if you're walking your little girl or boy across a parking lot and a car jumps out and you jerk their arm out of the way so hard it may pop their shoulder out or break their wrist, why'd you do that? For their good. You'd rather have a popped out shoulder than a dead child, right? So you jerk them out of the way. Even though it may hurt the child, what are you doing? I did it to save your life. Everything we do for our kids, your grandkids, you do it for their good. Not to bring them harm, but to bring them the right things in life. That's how God is for us, church. Everything He has prepared for us, it's for our good. We may want that certain house, certain car, certain man, certain woman, certain job. We may want that certain thing that looks so what we want. But God says, no, that's what maybe you want, but it's not what you need. And if you get that, it's going to take you off the plan I have for you. So wait on me. And let me send you what I desire to send you, and it'll be right. It'll be completely right. And you'll be completely satisfied. You know, the Bible says that he maketh us rich and addeth no sorrow. That's where our desire should be. God, make me rich with no sorrow. Make me rich in life, rich in what you want me to have, but don't add to sorrow, God, because I would rather have less money in the bank and be happy than have a bunch of money and be miserable. I'd rather have a beat-up car that runs and paid for than one I can't afford to pay for, and it's a fighter to have my wife about it. There's things that can bring sorrow to our lives instead of bringing peace to our lives. And if we'll wait on God, we'll have peace. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. I got one more. In Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does this mean? What is he talking about? Us waiting on God, church, it renews our strength because when we're waiting on God, we're looking to God. When we're looking to God, we're hearing from God. And when we're hearing from God, we're trusting in God. What waiting on God does, it pulls us back into his relationship. It pulls us back to him. We're going to him instead of everybody else telling our problems. We're going to God. Waiting on you, Lord. I trust you, and I'm waiting on you, and I'm hearing you. And as we hear God, see God, trust God, it builds our strength up again in him. There was a point in our lives where some of us, maybe you're still there, maybe it comes and goes like it does with me, because most of the time that's how it is. It's cycles of life. There are times in your life, man, you were so on fire for God, and you believed in God so much that nobody could tell you anything different. I mean, you would actually rebuke people that try to come against your faith in God. You rebuke them. Don't talk about that. I believe. Now, look, I know they got cancer, but we got to look at it real. No, I ain't looking at it real. God's bigger than cancer. We used to be that way. But here's what the doctor, I know the doctor says, but God's bigger than the doctor. Do you understand? God's bigger than the doctors. You know why you were so strong then? Because you were waiting on God and not waiting on man. You were looking to God and not to man. You were looking to him and not your situation. You were looking into him and not your giant. You were looking to God completely and not anything else. So it looks impossible. I mean, there's a lot of things look impossible. But it's possible. If you go on Google Earth, it's scary what you can do on Google Earth now, right? You can beam from the sky. You can see our trampoline in our backyard from space. That's spooky. I was on there one day and saw his head bounce. That's Ashley on trampoline. I can see it from good Lord. Look at that. Not quite that detail, but had y'all going, didn't I? But it does zoom in that close where you can see your building, your trampoline, your car in the driveway. That is scary. If someone would have said 40 years ago, we can see your trampoline from space. Okay. I know it's the 60s. I know you own something. But yeah, right. Here it is. Here we are. Living that day. There's a lot of things that seemed impossible. They're here now. Rockets going into space, satellites orbiting the earth. Technology that's just, remember when email first came out, how cool that was. Email. You could send a message to someone anywhere and boom, they got it. Send, boom. Anywhere. China, Russia, send an email, boom. All you had to have was an email address and it'd go. A lot of things seem impossible, but they're here. And like I said, we can believe in the impossible things of the world, but have a hard time believing the possibilities of God and what he can do. I mean, man will say, oh, they're the best surgeon around. I trust them in my life. Well, don't you trust God? Yeah, but. Well, no. We trust men. One thing that drives me crazy at these football games, you see signs in stadiums, in Brett Favre we trust, in so-and-so we trust, T.O. we trust, whatever. How degrading is that? Are you serious? You trust somebody you don't even know. You just watch them. You don't know them. We know God, church, as his children. We should. We know God. We know what he can do. At least I do. I know what my God can do. My God can heal anything. My God can deliver anything. My God can rescue anything. My God can change anything. My God can slay any giant, close any lion's mouth. My God is still Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I know who I serve. I know who I belong to. I know whose I am. I know what he's done for me. I know my God. And I know he's bigger than anything that's put before me in this earth. He is
bigger than any chain that holds me, any lock that binds me. God is bigger. He is all in all, bigger than anything that creation could possibly birth forth. He is bigger. No matter how tall the giant, how mean he looks, God's bigger than my problem and my storm. God is bigger. And if we'll wait on God, we'll see him show up on our behalf to give us what we need. Trust him. Wait on him. You may be in the middle of hell right now. I mean, you feel you're flat in the middle, that it can't get any worse where you're at right now. Wait on God. Just wait. God, I'm going to trust you because I can't fix this. I can't change this, but you can. So, God, I'm going to rest my thoughts upon you, and I'm going to let you fight for me. Fight for me. You know, back in the, you see the movie, well, I guess still now you see movies and stuff where, Melanie's always fussed about this. You see movies and stuff where two men get in a fight. One of them's trying to kill the other one or whatever. And the woman's just standing there looking. No. No. John. Jim. John. Jim. Melanie's like, why don't she go get a frying pan and knock the living daylights out of them? She's just standing there watching it happen. But you know what? Them men are fighting. And a lot of times it's over a woman. Defending their honor. I'll fight you. The old cowboys, you know, movies and stuff. They go in the saloon and somebody be messing with one of the women and the good Samaritan will stand up and say, she said, leave her alone. Ain't none of your business. There they go. What are they doing? Defending their honor. Man, God's fighting for us. God's throwing the punches. If we'll let them, let God get in front of us and let God say, God, you got this. I'm going to sit here and let you fight for me because you fought for me at Calvary. You fought so hard you died for me. You fought to give me eternal life. You fought to save me from hell. You fought for me, God. You'll die. You did die for me, and you'll fight for me now. And you will every day be my God that goes before me and goes around me and walks behind me and surrounds me. And there's no weapon formed against me, God, that can prosper when I let you be my God. Wait on him. Trust him and believe in him. That's my God, church. That's who I serve. And no matter what you're battling, he knows. And he'll give you strength to mount up on wings of an eagle. See, the eagle's a beautiful story if you don't know about the eagle. Give me 5 more minutes. I know we're a little over. I don't want you to get mad at me. The eagle is a beautiful story. The eagle is about 40 years old, has to make a decision. Does it live out a few more years and die, or does it go through a hard process and live another 40, 50, 60 years? And what an eagle will do when it gets, its feathers starts getting all ruffled and it can't fly as fast and as high and its beak gets dulled out from all the years of aging and its claws start all growing out and stuff. And what it has to do, it goes into hiding, into a cave if it wants to, by itself. Plucks all of its feathers out. It's a painful process, they say. Plucks its feathers out, beats its beak against a hard rock to get it chiseled back and chisels the claws to get them back right. And after that long process, takes several months process, he'll come back out of that cave again, and then he'll be like he was in the beginning, renewed and restored. He can soar again high like he did before. Church, if we'll let God be our strength, we will soar high above our problems, high above our storms, and high above our battles, because God is our strength and God is our source. It is time to let him fight our battles so that we can soar and enjoy the life he has given us, a life of peace and joy, because we know if we're saved where we're going. So what have we got to be depressed about? Man, we know when the trumpet sounds, we will see the face of God. We know that as Christians. We are his children, and there's a kingdom waiting on us to walk into. In the meantime, we wait on God to give us everything we need every day to live this life in victory, in joy, in peace, and in power if we will trust God. Wait on the Lord and trust him, because he has what you need. It may not be when you want it, but it'll come. There is no doubt it will come in his timing. Just let him do it for you. Waiting's hard, and nobody likes to do it. But boys, it paid dividends when we trust the Lord. You know, Manley spoke about Lazarus. He was dead 4 days, buried. Martha was so upset, his sister. Think about this. I mean, she had to wait a while to see Lazarus. She had to wait 4 days after he died to see him. And she fussed at Jesus. If you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus said, what are you talking about? He wouldn't have died. Well,
He ain't got to die now. Well, he's already dead. 4 days. Take me to his grave. You don't understand, Master. He's been dead 4 days. He's stinking. He's been buried, wrapped up, bombed up for 4 days. He's already starting to not do good. You understand? Like Melanie says, not that he just passed away. When you put the things on him, clear. I mean, he's gone. Jesus, he's gone. Understand that. He says, just take me there. And all he did was call his name. And the Bible says he came out of the grave, still wrapped in his grave clothes. Now, if you know anything about it, they would wrap you up like a mummy, cover your face and your head, and wrap you in these bandages and wrap you up. So here's how Lazarus came out.
Somebody call me.
Then Jesus said, grave clothes, be loosed. And the shell that held him in death departed from him, and he became alive and free again. That's what Jesus did. I mean, Martha was waiting on Jesus to heal him before he died, but he brought him back after he died. It didn't matter. Jesus says, she said, Lord, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection. He says, no, you don't understand. See, the resurrection is not a certain day. And that's a whole different message I won't preach here because y'all just be way off the hook. I'll have to do that some other time. I'll do the Sunday night craft for that message. He said, the resurrection is not a certain day. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Him that believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, it's not about a certain day. It's about who you know. I'm the resurrection. If we have Jesus, we have already been resurrected, church. We are living in a state of resurrection right now. Death can't ever have us because we're alive forevermore. There's no certain doom date, 2022. This is going to happen. And the resurrection, my grandpa has resurrected. You understand that? He is living in the full resurrected life now already, walking in the things of God. He's the resurrection. And that's what he's trying to tell Martha. Don't look to a day, look to the source, me. And when he called Lazarus, he came forth. Can you imagine Martha's eyes? As she saw her brother who had been dead 4 days come back out of that tomb and hug her, sister, I'm back. Where have I been? I don't know, but she wasn't here. But Jesus called him forth. Wait on the Lord. Trust him and don't do it yourself. God knows what he's doing. Just let him be the timing of your life. Glory to God. Let's pray, church. You bow your heads with me for a minute. Father, for this message today, I pray it'll encourage us. It'll change the way we think as we leave this place. That there are some right now that think you're not moving their lives. They don't see any change. They don't hear your voice. They don't see your hand. They don't even know if you're real or exist or if you're there for them. Or they feel you're distant and not interested in their life. God, I pray they realize that just like a loving parent in this earth, you are very involved and you know everything happening right now. And God, your timing is everything. And if you've not answered, it's because it's not time or because you have something better ahead or because things aren't in place yet. But let us be reminded that you are for us and not against us. And everything that we're praying for and believing for as your children, you will answer in the way that's best for us. Give us that courage to accept that, understand that, and realize that, and even have peace when the answer is no, or have peace when we don't see an answer, or peace when we don't hear you talking. Let us have peace knowing that if it didn't happen the way we wanted to, it's because of you, and you did it because you want it to happen for us in the right way. And we thank you for that prayer too. We thank you for the no's. We thank you for the yeses. We thank you for when we can't see you, and we thank you for when we can see you. We know you're moving on our behalf. Let each one of us in here learn to wait on you, God, and trust you during that waiting. You are very active, and you are working continually on our behalf in our lives to bring to us what your desire is if we'll trust you. Touch our hearts and encourage us, Lord, and let us be mindful of that as we leave this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen.